not this easy to make me sound like a meth head.
So we're back. We're back.
Live your life.
All right, and we're back with Dynasty Trades HQ podcast. We're back here in Vegas with our last segment that we're going to do. My name is Michael Sipes. You can find me on Twitter at FFBlitz. I'm here with my partner, Shane Manila.
You can also find me at FF. No, that's incorrect. You can find me at DFF underscore Shane, Shane.
And we want to welcome a really good friend, Mr. John DeBari. How you doing, John?
Pretty good. I'm here taking over Madman's spot. You've been fired.
Oh.
I thought Shane was going to say something more than awkward. So, yeah, John, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself? And you did not take over Jeremy's spot. He just couldn't make it to Vegas. But go ahead.
Sure.
We have to put that disclaimer in, so go ahead.
Yeah, you can find most of my work at DFF. I predominantly write Dynasty content, but I've also do a little redraft, DFS, a little bit of everything, do some editing. I've been there close to since day one, I believe, and I try to get a little content out as often as possible. In season this year, I'm going to be doing a series on streaming. The first one came out today, which is Saturday. I don't know when this is coming out, but if you like to stream quarterbacks, tight ends, defenses, I could look forward to that series every Saturday before you set your lineups, hit your waivers before game time on Sunday.
Cool. So you're going to do that as a regular thing every Saturday?
Yeah. First one came out today.
Cool. Yeah, there's a lot of noise in the background today. We'll try to get closer to your mic because I guess they're getting ready to do the last set of drafts coming up here. So we got some more people. Oh, by the way, what's your Twitter for everybody?
At Dibari22, D-I-B-A-R-I and the number 22.
And then you do all the articles that you mentioned on the website. Do you also do a podcast?
Yeah, I have a Fantasy 40 podcast, myself, Matt Walker, and Andrew Burke. You can see that at the Fantasy 40 on Twitter.
What's that about? What do you guys do there?
Basically, a little bit of everything. We're Dynasty-centric, but we cover redraft. We'll dabble in a little IDP, DFS, basically the whole fantasy spectrum. And in the in-season, now that season's starting up, we're going to be just previewing games, breaking down any important news from the previous week's games, and just giving fantasy tips for the current week.
Cool.
That is cool.
No, and it's funny. Every person we've had on here, just about, have all been talking about Le'Veon Bell. And I know you said you wanted to say something about Le'Veon Bell, too.
Yeah, I've been ranting about it this whole weekend the couple times I've come down. The earlier drafts, I guess it's a little more excusable, but today being the Saturday before opening day, Thursday doesn't count. The Eagles are terrible. Shame.
Eagles won, by the way, and they also won the Super Bowl.
That's true. But yeah, even today, knowing that Bell hasn't reported, I was shocked to go around seeing, you know, these are high stakes. These are pretty educated fantasy players that are in the know. I'm shocked that Bell is still going end of the first, early second, mid second. I mean, to me, if he's not there today, he's not coming back till week 10.
And it is now 4:01 p.m. I don't know if it's Eastern Standard Time, so that might not matter. But he has until 4 o'clock on some time zone.
It was probably Eastern Standard Time because
that's the real time zone. So he has to 4 p.m. today to sign the contract, or he can't play Sunday.
Which that's already passed.
Maybe. Well, 4 p.m.
Because isn't it?
It's not 4 p.m. in the East.
It's 4:02 at East. Yeah, it is.
Oh shit! No, it's not. Is it?
Yes, it's 4:02. Yes.
Oh, okay, so it is 4:02 in the East Coast.
That's why I thought you brought it up.
So he has not signed, and Lev Bell will not be playing this week. So get him out of your lineups.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second. I can't understand what you're saying. Oh, okay, cool. Okay, all right, cool. Yeah, sorry, John, we have an FFPC guest to come in
for a second.
John,
don't take this personal, but we found someone better.
No, stay. Stick around. Don't leave.
Jeremy, and now I get replaced.
No. But I'm saying don't leave. Just step aside for just a second.
I'll be back.
Yes, you'll be back. But all right, let's see. So who do we... Sure, come on in.
Hello, world.
Now wait a second. Hold on a second.
What?
I was told we had an FFPC guest here, and how you doing, Remy?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
Why don't you tell everybody who you are?
I'm Remy Rhodes. I think I did an interview with you guys a couple of days ago.
Yes, and the reason
that
you
pre-draft.
The reason you and I are laughing is because during the viewing party when we were watching the game, you were sitting behind me when I was cheering for no touchdowns and all that stuff,
and it almost happened.
And you had the over.
Right? The over. That was the dumbest bet I put this weekend, but it happens.
So how are you doing? Are you having fun now? I mean, because you weren't
happy
then.
Fun. I'm unlucky, but I'm having fun.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, we were, because Shane, I was jumping up and down when nobody was scoring. I was the only one in that whole group that was happy, but he was sitting right behind me, and he's like, yeah, man, I have way too much money on this game.
So you were annoyed that he put a $5 bet down?
Hey, 60-1, I mean...
But it was fun.
Yeah, now, it was fun, man.
So now, yeah, you had mentioned when we talked, you wanted to get into some other aspects of fantasy stuff, podcasting and all that kind of stuff.
I put bold predictions out there, like this is going to sound biased because we drafted him today, but I think Greg Olsen is going to be the number one tight end this year. Over Gronk.
That's bold. He just showed up on the injury report today.
Wow.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
No, he did.
I know he did.
No,
so he acted, yeah. That foot is acting up again, huh?
Was it an ankle?
I'm pulling it up right now because the fact that, yeah, here it is.
He's back. Yeah. All right. Well, he's just got old man back.
Old man.
He's 35, right?
Yeah.
It does say Ian Rappaport.
30, 31.
Ian Rappaport
doesn't
says,
get better, is what we're saying. Okay.
Well, Ian Rappaport says that his back, he's on the injury report and he's listed as questionable for tomorrow.
Ouch.
So he's going to need to do that in 15 games.
So let's talk Le'Veon Bell.
So where did Le'Veon Bell go in your draft?
He went second round. I think he went around pick 16, something like that.
So what exactly did you do today? What was your draft? What league are you in? What was your?
We did the main event. It was a 10 a.m.
Uh huh.
It's obviously a 12 team. And it was me and Kyrie, my co-manager. And
hey, Kyrie,
how you doing?
We think we done really good.
What's your roster?
Something shocked us. We was planning on all our mock drafts. Melvin Gordon. Melvin Gordon's gonna fall to 11. Melvin Gordon didn't fall to 11.
Yeah, we were noticing earlier how many running backs went in that first round. So then what
Ridiculous.
Happened? What fell to you at 11?
So we was like, okay. It's only two receivers that's been grabbed. Nobody didn't want Julio. We took Julio. Julio Jones at 11.
Nice.
Shane was talking about Julio at the beginning today.
Julio's going to drop 20 points a game. And if he could actually get Ryan to throw him a touchdown.
Exactly. They need to throw that screen to him more, man.
I don't know what it is. He can hit Julio all over the field, hits him 10 for 19. But when he gets to the end zone, all of a sudden, it's like he doesn't know what to do anymore. I was talking about Julio's 6'4". He jumps 136 inches. How can you not hit that man in the end zone? I could hit him. It's all real high.
Yeah.
So what was the core of your team? What'd you end up with?
We ended up so balanced. I'm proud of how balanced we are. Because when they snatched them running backs up, I was like, you know what? Zero running back theory. Zero. Well, no, we ended up staying balanced. We got Dalvin Cook and Freeman, because Freeman fell to the fourth, obviously, because of what happened in the Thursday night game.
And you got Dalvin as your number one?
No.
Dalvin
yeah,
Cook?
Dalvin is our number one. We got Greg Olsen. And for some reason, they were sleeping on the quarterbacks. We ended up taking two. That wasn't our plan going in, but we got Russell Wilson and we got Cam Newton. Cam Newton in the 10th round.
That's great.
Jesus. Yeah, no, that's really good. Because especially I've seen some of the boards, like Austin Eckler's going off the board in the 10th round. Or before that, Alf Morris in the 8th. I think I'll take Cam there.
Yeah.
It's funny with the Alf Morris stuff. I see all the stickers out there. They're all handwritten.
Yeah.
The Alf Morris stickers are handwritten.
Everybody has to write in Alf Morris.
If you got to – look, man, I'm sorry. I respect the dudes that put in – for this and they're playing in this, I'm not taking Alf Morris, man. That dude's going to be burnt out by week four. He's trash. He was trash last year. He's going to be trash this year. And if I'm wrong, I ain't going to remember anyway.
I was just going to say, yeah, you won't. Okay. So is this your first year doing it? Or?
This is my second year. My co-manager is his first year, Kyrie Moore.
Uh-huh.
I'm telling you, that guy's a stud, man. He knows all the analytics.
Kyrie,
he's a football junkie.
Pull up a seat, man.
Come on over
Come
here.
Come on up here, Kyrie.
So what do you guys do? What do you guys do for a living?
We work at the post office.
Oh, great. Where?
Tell them where we work.
Around here?
We work for the Fort Worth PNDC.
Okay, cool.
We
in
work
Texas.
For the post office in Fort Worth, Texas.
Hold on, I'll turn up the sound. So this is your first year coming, so why did you guys decide to come out here and do this?
I've been doing fantasy for a while around the area I'm in, and I've been doing pretty good, so I thought I'd step up to another level of competition out here.
Cool. Remy, how well did you do last year? You said this is your second year. What did you do last year?
Well, I didn't get a chance to do it last year. I did it the year before last and one league. Made the playoffs, and then Ryan Tannehill goes off, lost the first playoff game, and missed the playoffs by one game in another league.
Oh, Ryan Tannehill going off on you has got to be one of the worst feelings that's ever existed in fantasy football. Like, really, dude, now.
Well, I know we were talking also last night, Remy, you were talking about going to the NFL draft and all that. So you guys are just all into all the fantasy football and the real NFL stuff?
Back up. Oh, I am probably the biggest NFL fan. I got to go to the draft this year. It was in Dallas, where right. we're from. So I got to get in there this year and checked out all the festivities. And I love the real draft just as much as my fantasy draft.
Did you get tickets to go in the building?
Well, yeah, you had to sign up for a lottery.
Right.
And I was actually one of the winners of the lottery.
I was telling Remy, because he said he didn't end over there, but we didn't make the lottery tickets, but we flew in from Florida, and we did that whole thing on the phone the morning.
Yeah.
So we got the tickets that morning. So he was man, I should have went.
I put it in like 3 months ahead of time.
Well, a lot of people didn't show up, so that's why we did it that way.
It makes you feel better in Philly. Home of the world champion Eagles. Oh, hey, Dallas fans.
Yes.
That's good. Yeah. You a Dallas fan, Remy?
Yeah, I like Dallas. They're not my favorite, but I do.
No, that's fine. Then. They're no one's favorite.
Well,
bunch of bandwagon down here. I don't even like it. They ain't not my America. But yeah, I same thing when they had the draft in Philly, man. Right, I signed up like. Yeah, and we had threads. We had people selling them online, and
I think that's why they did the lottery. Yeah.
Well, yeah, they did that, and then they gave it away to people all over the world, and then like 80% of the people didn't show up.
Yeah.
So if you were there at the building by 10 o'clock, you pushed a button, you got tickets. So.
In fairness, would you really want to go to Dallas?
Well, I did. It was.
Oh.
I went.
Well, most sane people like that's not like on their bucket list.
That's the only reason I went. Oh wait, no. Hey, no, they live there.
Fort Worth.
Oh, look.
I don't know geography, so I have no idea if they live north, south, east, west.
Well, I'm glad you're in the middle here. So, yeah. But no, that's cool.
So who else did you get? Who else were you besides Cam, which was a nice, nice pick.
And Russell.
We picked
obviously.
Up both Demaryius and Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, okay.
They're going to be our second and third. Receiving a flex for us. So, I didn't think that was a bad flex. Demaryius to be your flex, you know.
How many starters? What do you guys start in this league? What?
We start with one quarterback, two running backs, two wide receivers, two flexes, tight end, defense, and special team.
So, did you get a second tight end?
Yeah, Jared Cook, but they made a heck of a run on those tight ends. And it was a panic mode because it got down past, you know. The top seven guys, and everybody was like, I need to try to at least get Njoku, you know, somebody like that.
Well, you'll be starting Jared Cook this weekend then, most likely.
Jared Cook wasn't bad last year.
I know, and that's what I'm saying.
He was a guy you could play week in and week out. He wasn't top 12 every week, but consistency, he didn't have many weeks where he was one, you know, a top 12 one week and then 36 the next. That kills you at a position. At least he stayed in a range, and that he was going to get that for you.
So that's my strategy going into fantasy. I like to stay balanced, and I like to take. I think you come out not being so top heavy.
Yeah.
I mean, you may have a great set of receivers, and you got a sucky core of running backs. It's not going to work out for you in the end. But see, there's sometimes you can take a guy like Gronk, and he'll kind of supplement another position.
Right.
You know? So
it's like having another wide receiver.
Well, and it's 1.5 points tight end.
Yeah.
Is it?
So,
is
yeah,
it?
For, yeah, all FFPC, at least that I know of. The three leagues I'm in, 1.5 points. I didn't get Gronk in any of my smaller
Smart
leagues.
Move.
Yeah.
And then the thing is, you're talking about a kicker and a defense, too. With the amount of money that's going on in those rooms, are people taking the kicker and defense like the last two picks?
No.
Where are they going?
They're going at least 3 rounds to 4 rounds before they end.
Oh, okay.
Where did Jacksonville go to in your draft, do you remember?
They went early.
Yeah. Round 12 for Jacksonville. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I got to be honest with you, though, in this format where you have to start a defense,
yeah.
If I'm looking at I can start Jacksonville's defense or get me Austin Eckler, who – when am I even going to know when to start that guy? Honestly, you know what I mean? Unless Melvin Gordon goes down, then I'll definitely play him.
Yeah.
But I can understand why you do that.
Yeah.
Like, look, I picked Jacksonville's defense in one of the FFPC Dynasty Leagues because I said, look, they're going to be good for at least a couple years. Eagles, maybe you could have waited on and then picked the Eagles. That would have been my suggestion.
Yeah, we highly favor the Rams. With that secondary and that line, Aaron Donald's back and ready to roll now.
See, the problem with them is, though, if I'm the other team, I might not get on the field. So I don't know if you get points for that because if you just walk away afraid, I don't know, because that defense is going to be frightening.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I even asked that, though, is because I said with the amount of money that's going on in there, because in a regular redraft league, these people take them with their last two picks. But you guys have a lot of money riding on doing this, so you've got to adjust for that.
You got to take your chances. You got to go and get what you want.
Well, that's great.
Don't wait till the end and then say, I wish I had a. You got to take that step out on that limb.
Well, that's cool. Well, I know Remy told me last night that he wants to get into some other things like podcasts and fantasy stuff and everything.
Yeah,
you want to do that with him too? That's what I was going
to
ask you.
Me and him been talking about it, but we're trying to see what parameters you need to get everything going, and how do you build up your viewership.
So here's what you do, right? You get some other guy to do the editing, mm-hmm. All right? Then you act – I'm just giving you what I do. Then act like a wild asshole on the mic, joke a lot, make fun of your co-hosts, and that seems to work.
And then I spend hours upon hours making sure that he's not embarrassed.
You get the editor nerd. He does all that. He takes care of it, makes you sound good. So,
okay.
But it's a lot of fun. But, hey, great. Thanks for coming on. I'm glad you guys had a great draft. I'm glad you had fun here. How long are you here till? Are you guys sticking around to watch football tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll be here tomorrow.
I'll be here till Tuesday.
So you're going to be here.
It's cheaper per day if you stay longer.
Yeah.
I'll call my wife up. Apparently, I need to stay here in October.
Well, thanks a lot, guys, and good luck with your FFPC. I hope you do well.
Okay.
Definitely, I know we were following each other. Did you get that worked out where you were trying to figure out your Twitter?
I got the lock off of her, but it still don't say that we're following each other.
Yeah, he couldn't figure out how to get the lock off of his
Twitter. My
Twitter
is at RimRoads. I put ridiculous bold predictions out there for NFL. Stay tuned.
Yeah, and we were trying to do it, and he couldn't get the lock off to be able to accept people.
Remy
so. Well, good luck, guys, and definitely keep us up to date. Let us know how you do. Hey, maybe we'll talk to you guys again at the end of the season, and you'll come on and tell us how you guys did.
Yeah, definitely. I want to hear about how your team did, man. I real quick, I love the Sanders and DT stack. Not even going to lie, because when they've had even moderate replacement level type quarterback play, they're both putting up 1,000 yards. They're both putting up at least 5 or 6 touchdowns, and there's literally no reason they shouldn't this year. Love that.
Yeah, and Remy, it does say on my thing that you are following and I'm following you back. So it did work.
And I'm tweeting out their squad right here, their team 11.
Yeah, we'll get you guys' name out there some more and everything. So thanks a lot for coming on. It was great talking to you.
You guys, make sure you check out DynastyFootballFactory.com
for all the latest analytics.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. What? We got two more. Oh, okay. Never mind. Sorry, John. You replaced again.
John
was about to come back.
Spot, man. I gotta go get some water.
Yeah, John, come sit in chain seat. That's great. Yep. Thanks a lot, guys, man. Thanks, guys. Yeah. So we've got another couple of people here that are in the draft, and we've also replaced Shane. So I'm here with John DeBar. He's taking over for Shane's spot.
Taking Madman's job and Shane's job in the same day.
Hey, we'll see how this all works out. So, all right, how you doing, guys?
Doing well.
Tell everybody your names.
This is our Christmas.
This is your Christmas, yeah. So what?
My name is Christopher Hart. This is Toby Bielkini, and we've been doing high stakes football since the very first year they ever did it, the World Series of Championships of Fantasy Football in 2001. Come every year.
Oh, that's cool.
And had multiple teams. Came close to winning a couple times, and just love it.
So, how'd you do today, or did you draft today, Thursday?
We drafted
a
team today. We'll draft a team tonight, an FFPC team tonight at 4.
Oh, how many teams you have?
So we do 6 high stakes leagues. We drafted an FFPC main event yesterday. We did the the FFWC Invitational. It's a top 100 ranked players in the world get invited to play in that. And we've won that since the first year they ever did it. We swept that one.
Wow. Congratulations.
The best players in the world. Yeah, so, yeah, it's Christmas right now.
So you set this time aside to come here for this weekend. Are you sticking around for watching football tomorrow also, or do you head back? If it's Christmas, I'm sure you're sticking around.
Watch football, bro. That's what we do.
Yeah. Where do you live?
I live in SF. My buddy Toby lives in Jacksonville.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. So how'd you do with the draft that you already did? Today, you said?
Today? I feel like we did good. I mean, you drafted your guys, right?
So right.
We went all in on David Johnson last year, so we're looking for redemption.
What pick did you have?
This one, 5.
And you got David Johnson at 5?
No. Oh. Last year we did. So this year we took Barkley at 5.
Oh, yeah, Shane just left, but Shane would have loved that pick.
Do you guys find that you stick to a... Do you go in with a draft strategy kind of every year? Do you stick to it year after year? Do you kind of change it every year? Just kind of go with the flow as the drafts come every year?
We have a draft plan every year. The thing that changes so differently is the format of the leagues we play. So based on which format, which starting requirements, which, you know, sure, flexes and stuff, that we pretty much stick to our plan most of the time based on that format.
And your plan is get your guys, or is that part of your plan? Because you said you get your guys. Do you try to get the same guys?
Well, kind of. When you're getting into rounds 4 through 8, like, we go off my rankings, and there seems to be guys that I rank higher than in the industry, so we end up with a decent amount of those guys. But we have to be aware not to do that every draft.
It's nice to have some diversity with your first couple picks.
Right.
You know, when you're in a lot of high-stakes leagues.
And then the base and the middle is the same or similar?
The middle ends up being where the guys we like kind of filter to our teams, yeah.
And then the value that falls in each draft. Yeah. You know, it's always interesting to see who in one draft goes in round 8, and the next draft you get in round 13.
Yeah.
You know.
What round did Bell go in your most recent draft?
First round, I believe it was a 10th pick.
Oh, my God.
So, we were talking about it earlier. So, what's your opinion on it, even him going that early today?
My opinion on it is it could win your league for you. So, the guy who took Bell took Connor in the 4th. So, and then he paired that up. I think he had...
He's looking it up. He's got it.
I mean, it's dope.
Fly research.
He's got
Dalvin Cook in the 2nd. So
okay.
So he's. I've seen it where there's been I saw him go in the 5th pick in the 2nd round yesterday to somebody who had like Saquon Barkley, and then he got Connor in the 5th.
So then he protected himself that way.
Yeah. So Bell could go anywhere. He could be out 10 games or 1.
Right.
No, I've been scanning my news all day, every day, just trying to figure that out, because somebody's going to make a lot of money on that, or they're going to be real disappointed.
Yeah.
So that's the risk, right? That's what we play for. But I think it's a worthwhile risk anywhere in the 10 pick through the 14 pick.
And I think it was 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time he didn't sign or show up, so he's officially out for tomorrow.
Correct.
So he's not playing tomorrow. What do you guys have tonight? What pick do you guys have tonight?
I think it's 7.
I think it might be the 7.
But it's your last one, though, right? It's the last draft.
Yeah, it's our last draft.
Do you prefer that this year? For me, I find I'm happier in the middle and getting that earlier pick in the 2nd round than I am picking early this year. Anywhere in those top 4, 5, 6 picks, you're getting one of those top 5 or 6 guys. And then coming back, especially now, like you said, if you're somebody who's interested in Bell, you could pick Bell up now coming back on the 2nd, which obviously wasn't in play even a week ago.
No, it's not in play now. I've never seen him come back. I saw him go to the 5 pick in the 2nd, and that was an outlier. He usually goes at the turn.
Do you know the guys? Like, you're going in their draft, and you're in so many of these leagues. Do you know a lot of the people that you're playing against in there? Or are they all
at least 3 or 4 teams every time, because we've been coming here for 20 years, so we've been playing against all the same names over and over.
So then not only it's Christmas, it's kind of like a reunion.
Yeah.
You get to see all the same guys, and you compete against them and everything.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Do you guys interact throughout the season, or is this the kind of league where you draft this team and then you put it aside?
You know what? it's all chummy here, but when you're during the season, you're just an opponent.
Yeah.
And none of these leagues are really like your home leagues where you're, talking shit to your bros. So it's more, it's more along the lines of, you know, we need to win. So it's all business.
Well, that's cool. Well, good luck. I hope you guys do well, you know. And good luck tonight with your last one. Where are you guys going to watch football tomorrow?
Probably wherever Mike runs.
I was going to say, you're looking at Mike. We're going to actually have MG come in when you guys get up. So, all right, so you guys are going to all watch together. Well, good luck. Hope you guys do well,
Good luck, guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right, so then, yeah. So this is the perfect way to wrap up. The fact that Shane's not here, though, I don't know where he went. But we're going to wrap it up.
That's what makes it perfect.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, actually. But, yeah, so we've got MG here, the owner, the principal owner, or how do you explain yourself?
I'm the eye in the sky.
Godfather.
I'm Big Brother.
The Godfather.
The Godfather. That's I haven't heard that one before. I don't know. Owner, founder, creator, whatever you want to call me, I could care less. It's just a stupid title.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's what we've done as a collective unit that's made DFF the most successful it's become, and as we continue to grow, it's just so exciting to see everybody evolve. Yourself, the Dynasty Trades HQ show, JDB over here, and although his show is not on the network, I'm still proud of what they're doing, and so many of the team has evolved and stretched into doing other stuff with even other platforms. I just wish everybody success, but what we've done as a unit over these last very brief 2.5 years,
very
unbelievable. I'm not big on cussing on the pods, but in this case, it's listen, man, it is what it is. I mean, being here this weekend with the FFPC partnership is a perfect example of that, and being able to align our platform with the largest high stakes platform on the planet, simply amazing. It's humbling to be here. It took over a year for us to secure this partnership. It's an exclusive deal. We're the only Dynasty football site in the industry that is working directly with the FFPC. And this year we offered our own sponsored DFF leagues. So there's a lot of moving and shaking. We've got a large team. Many people don't realize everything that goes on behind the scenes to produce a site and to produce the content and to produce the multimedia arm that we now have. And I want to kind of share a little bit about that with the public.
Okay.
We've got a family of over 80 people. That's insane. We're stretched across the globe.
Yeah. Dabari and I, like you were just saying about you were here early. I was here pretty early, too. And I think over time, we've had some people come and go. But it feels like now the structure and the base that you built seems pretty secure.
That we've built.
Okay, that we've built. It feels pretty secure now. And it is amazing how many people it takes to run a site and to be successful at it, too,
You bring up a great point, and it's not just about the infrastructure. I truly believe, and as you've said, we've gone through our peaks and valleys, right? We've had people come in, we've had people leave.
Right.
Whether they've been... they've gone to another site, or whether they've just stopped doing it altogether, or whatever the case may be. But I think what makes us different is our structure. We've taken this ridiculous passion project, this humbling hobby, right?
Uh-huh.
And we've simply applied a modicum of professionalism, infrastructure, goal setting, and a vision to it. So although we still love it, we're still doing it because we give a crap about it. We know we have a purpose, and we know that there's not just the Motel 6 light on at the end of the tunnel. There's that pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that our business model is designed to reach for.
Right.
But I think at the end of the day, it's the culture that we've created. And I say it whenever I'm introducing somebody new to the team. Welcome to the family.
Mm-hmm.
I really, truly mean it. We've got a very family-esque atmosphere, and I think that's part of the reason why our retention rate's been in the mid-90s. With a team as large, or a family as large as ours, that's unheard of.
It is pretty big, yeah. So, and I didn't mean to interrupt you before when you were discussing about how big the family is and what you wanted to bring. You were about to say something
sure.
different.
Well, people don't realize that we've got as many people that write for us that we do, and I think that's one thing that identifiably makes us unique within this marketplace. That is, we provide a consistent level of diversity amongst our content.
Right.
A lot of times I get personal messages going, I love the fact that you guys aren't a groupthink tank of perspective, that you offer up a wide array. I mean, I have writers that will even reach out to me. Now, granted, I don't run the day-to-day.
Right.
You know, Shane Manila runs the day-to-day, to be quite honest with you.
And he's not here.
He's not here to take that credit. But I'm always watching. I'm always listening. I'm always inserting myself when I'm needed. Mm-hmm. I try to make myself readily available. But at the end of the day, knowing that we have the support, knowing that we have the staff that is insulated in the areas that will provide the content that we need, and when people personal message me and say, I love the diversity of your content, that's a testament to what we've got as a team. And people, writers, will still to this day message me and say, hey, MG, I know that, let's just say John, Dabari, JDB just wrote an article on, I don't know, Jarek McKinnon. And I'm just, not that he would, obviously.
I like his face. He's like, ugh.
I just saw that John wrote an article on Jarek McKinnon. I've been working on a piece for a couple weeks now, and I was almost ready. And I'm like, look, man, so what? Publish your article. If you need to refer to John's article, provide a link, right? Reference it to it. But then do a contrarian view. Let people see the yin and the yang.
Right.
You can still have your own voice, your own unique perspective. Don't carbon copy what he's doing, because that's just lazy writing and journalistic no-no.
Right.
But still, the goal is that be creative, be passionate about what you love. And just because John did a piece on a player doesn't mean we can't do that same player in a different spectrum the next week.
Right.
So, and I think that our audience really likes that.
Of the 80 or so family members, how many percentage of that 80, how many of them write? Because I know I don't. Shane makes fun of me all the time that
we
I don't write.
We have approximately 65 writers.
65? Okay.
And the rest of that 15 is our post-production crew. So it's our network staff.
All right.
And that you kind of bled into something that's really one of the things that I think truly makes us unique, and that is I've noticed that over the last year or so, a lot of podcasting networks have unveiled themselves. Well, I'd like to believe that the Dynasty Football Network has preceded a lot of these
absolutely
new projects. You know, more power to them, and I wish everybody nothing but the greatest of success. But we are very proud about our network, and when I say ours, I truly mean that these shows are DFF operated.
Right.
They are not individually run shows. Certainly they've been appointed a host and a co-host, but what's unique about our shows and why they've been created this way is that they were built to focus on a singular lane of information as it pertains to fantasy football. What that essentially means is Dynasty Trades HQ, right?
Right.
You guys, for example, you focus on the Dynasty Trade experience, player evaluation,
right?
How to develop a trade, how to cultivate trades, how to first develop a relationship before you just jump right into a trade, right?
Right.
And don't just think about the one trade, think about what the parlay could mean for you.
Correct.
Our Capology 101 show, I mean, that's a phenomenal show. It doesn't just discuss the NFL salary cap as it pertains to your favorite teams,
right?
They dive into how the salary cap could adversely affect your fantasy rosters.
Right.
They're full of a sickeningly overwhelming amount of information sometimes.
Listen, you're absolutely right.
And
these are big brain guys, too.
Yes.
They talk about stuff way over my pay grade.
And like you said, it really, listening to that show has really opened my eyes to a lot of contract stuff. Like, I actually mentioned it, just throwing it out there, and I forgot I actually wrote a McKinnon article referencing his contract.
You were laughing at yourself?
Yeah, I was like, who would write a McKinnon article? I'm like, oh, shit, I wrote a McKinnon article.
That's perfect.
But a big part of it was looking at McKinnon's contract going forward, and that was something I've played fantasies for almost 20 years. That was something that I never really took into account until I really started to listen to their show a couple times, then really thinking about how that could impact it. So for me, McKinnon was disgusting because it was essentially a one-year contract. But like you said, just the diversity of content. As Sipe said, when the site first started, we were a dynasty site, and then we had a redraft, IDP specific, DFS. It's just grown, and then with the podcasts too. it is really a ton of information. You said, you know, diversity as far as people's voices and stuff. I mean, we have all the little DFF chats on Twitter, and we're always talking with each other privately. And, I mean, yeah, we
playing with each other behind the scenes.
And we beat the hell out of each other because a lot of us do disagree. Half of us love certain people and half of us hate them. So it is funny because two of us will write the same article on a guy, and one is this guy's terrible and here's why, and this guy's great and here's why. So people that come to the site or listen to the
probably utterly
podcast,
confused going, do they like him or not?
But at least it gives
you...
see,
that's the one good thing about...
Shane's back.
One
Shane's
of many
back.
Great things about our site. There isn't just a... Oh, this is the DFF mindset. They always think this. Like, there's enough space that, you know, there's going to be competing views, and we're going to give you both sides of an argument, and then at that point you go from there. We gave you all the pertinent information and you decide what you want to do.
It's up to you.
Yeah, and it really is like a family too, because like John mentioned, there's so many DM threads and different chat rooms, and people are all talking to each other, and like, this is the first time we've met, but I've talked to you for like 2 years now.
Oh, yeah.
And to me, in the very beginning too, John's pretty funny with the way he rips on people and says things, especially in some of those chats. So in the early days when I would say something and I would get ripped on by you out on the public, to me it was like a badge of honor. Like, I was like, that's so cool, John just said all this shit about me. But I think you did. You created a really great environment where people are happy here and happy doing what they're doing. And then it shows in all the work that people put out.
Well, I hope so. And, you know, as humbling as it is to have grown to where we are today, from like John DeBarry just said, from starting off as a Dynasty-centric site,
right,
to evolving systematically into Devi, into IDP. These are all different demographics of focus that we were part of the plan to evolve into. And then this last year or 2 years ago, Redraft. And college fantasy, two completely unique demographics, and then this offseason, DFS. Well, that's a mouthful of what I just said, to be sure, but at the end of the day, I can tell you this, and for those listeners out there that are still with us, we have only just begun.
Right.
As ridiculous as that sounds, we've completed the fantasy football experience, but folks, let me tell you, as far as I'm concerned, this is coming from the horse's mouth. We are still in the incubator as far as our evolution is concerned. There is big plans that have been steadily massaged over this last year that we are getting close to unveiling. We've got announcements to make throughout this year, and then as we move into the next two off seasons, bigger changes. Our motto is always be building. One of the things that we hang our hat on is the fact that we constantly are being progressive in moving forward, not backwards or sideways. We're not going to make all the right decisions, certainly, but we're going to learn from those mistakes that we make and make sure that we take the next deliberate step forward, and all to the benefit of our fanatical fans out there, listeners and readers, that we're extremely humbled and blessed by your support.
Yeah, and I agree, and I know that you always say it's us, we, not you.
It is a we thing.
But
absolutely.
I still believe that ever since the very beginning, you did start it by getting everybody together, but you're right. We all did it together, and it's amazing, and I think it's a great thing. And Shane, even though when you say all the different parts, Shane still won't accept the IDP part, but maybe one of these days we'll get him to accept
it. They're an entity, and they exist.
But listen, thanks for coming on here, finally talking. I know you say no one's ever got you on a show.
Yeah, you son of a bitch, just never invite me on your shows. Hell, I can't even get non-DFF shows to invite me anymore.
The best part of it is that Shane left to go have a cigarette before you came and sat down, so Shane wasn't even here, and he gave you a really great compliment, and you weren't even here to get it.
He probably wouldn't have wanted to be on the show in the first place anyway, so as a fellow owner, you'd figure he would have invited me a long time ago, but...
Well, as you always remind me, we've only been doing our podcast a couple months.
Yeah, we're just nothing. We're a little teeny show that's
a couple months, but yet number two in the industry this last voting season.
Oh, that was so awesome. We were number three, actually.
Number three podcast, fantasy resource podcast in the industry. after what, 16 episodes?
Yeah, it was like a little bit about 3 months. Yeah, yeah. And that was really humbling, and it was awesome. And we're having a lot of fun. So
you've earned it. You're doing a tremendous job.
Thanks.
I'm just glad that we didn't put Dabari on a network show. Otherwise, it might have folded by now.
Yeah, the censorship hurts my content.
Can you imagine the editing that I would have to do if I had Dabari and Shane on the same show that I would have to edit?
That would be pretty bad. Or we would just have to go completely X-rayed. It'd be like, this show's, yeah, there's no...
Well, I think that's a great way to end it. So thanks to everybody for listening the whole 3 days. We've had a lot of fun here. And John, thanks for sitting in with us here. And Shane...
Thanks. Finally having me on. You had to fly all the way out here.
Listen, we'll do it a different time and we'll get you on for something else. Or maybe we'll work out another show later. So thanks everybody for listening. We'll talk to you next week and see you later, Shane.
Deuces.